Welcome, everyone. Michael Volkoff here for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. And although the FCPA in 2025 was not a big enforcement issue, the real sort of changes occurred in terms of FCPA enforcement and the priority, I thought we would take at least a look at 2025 and what I expect to happen in 2026. So we've seen a slowdown, we've seen a policy reset, and the numbers have declined. But FCPA enforcement in 2025 was also defined by what did not happen as much as what did. Of course, the numbers of publicly announced cases declined sharply. Corporate resolutions, where there's only really one significant penalty one, and the overall enforcement posture appeared more restrained because, and also we saw reallocation of resources from the FCPA unit to other sections in the Justice Department, most particularly the National Security Division, immigration, and other issues. Now, this is a policy recalibration, but it's not a dismantling of the FCPA enforcement regime. Early in the year, as you all know, DOJ paused FCPA enforcement activity while it reviewed policy priorities. That pause, followed by the issuance of revised enforcement guidance mid-year, produced a real decline in enforcement actions. Some investigations slowed. At least one long-running prosecution was dismissed, and the SEC brought no new FCPA cases during the year. DOJ's revised guidance emphasized being much more selective, signaling that enforcement would focus on higher impact cases where there are large bribe payments, clear evidence of corrupt intent, sophisticated schemes to conceal, and the conduct of these investigations and the conduct of a bribery would implicate U.S. national security or competitiveness. Lower value cases and routine business courtesy fact patterns were explicitly deprioritized. Now, so this was one of the lightest years in more than a decade of, and frankly, before 2010, in my view, in terms of FCPA enforcement. So there were only a handful of corporate outcomes, and DOJ officials continue to emphasize the importance, however, of voluntary self-disclosure, cooperation, the earning of a declination, and the handling of cases to benefit companies that do voluntarily disclose. But serious cases still produce some serious outcomes. DOJ resolved a significant bribery case against a telecom company through a deferred prosecution agreement, and the penalty exceeded, I think it was around $140 million. DOJ also issued a declination with disgorgement to Liberty Mutual, crediting them for voluntary disclosure, cooperation, and remediation. And then showing that, yes, the corporate enforcement policy is still being followed. The enforcement infrastructure has been reduced, but has not disappeared. There are still investigative teams, international cooperation channels, whistleblower pipelines, and accounting control authorities remain fully operational. So this reflects a lower priority, but not a complete retreat. We're not over FCPA enforcement. That doesn't mean it's over, but the bar for cases has been raised, and look for overlaps with national security interests. So fewer cases are being investigated, fewer cases are being prosecuted, but those that move forward, you're going to see, I think they're going to be strong evidence cases, clear intent, and probably pretty overwhelming cases in terms of establishing guilt. I also think you'll see more cases focused on individuals, where the company may cooperate and the individuals may get prosecuted, and the company will just have to disgorge whatever ill-gotten gains they have. So let's start from that assumption that there's going to be fewer enforcement actions, but that doesn't mean lower risk. You still also have, besides the FCPA, we also have anti-corruption laws in the UK, in France, and in other countries that can be applied in these situations. So FCPA risk really reflects your business operations, your control weaknesses, not the risk of enforcement, as underscored through statistics. So let's talk about what we need to still focus on in this area. And of course, we're going to start off with, and nobody's surprised by this, that third parties remain your dominant risk. Agents, distributors, consultants, and local intermediaries continue and will continue to generate the majority of FCPA exposure. And the misconduct in 2025 that was cited was traced again to third-party misconduct for relationships that they had at the local operating level. So risk tiering, contract controls, payment testing, and continuous monitoring remain essential. State-owned enterprises, to the extent you interact with government or state-owned enterprises, those are going to continue to be high-risk relationships. Commercial dealings with the state-owned or state-controlled entities continue to trigger FCPA exposure involving functions like licensing, procurement, customs, logistics, and government-adjacent customers will be obviously high risk areas. So we must continue to map government touch points and apply heightened controls. Now, even where DOJ narrows anti-bribery priorities, we still have accounting controls and record keeping, which can be used for enforcement. Now, obviously the SEC did not do that, in 2025, they were too busy with, let's say, other priorities, but those can come back. And also, as I've pointed out for years, that DOJ can criminally enforce accounting controls as well. So vague descriptions, unsupported rebates, marketing expenses that are not documented, or intercompany adjustments can still create exposure. Weak accounting controls are often the mechanism that turns misconduct into an enforcement case. And of course, we still have our favorite topic of gifts, travel, and hospitality, and they remain as a significant risk. And while DOJ has deprioritized the minor courtesy cases, hospitality remains one of the most reliable indicators of problematic relationships. Weak controls here eliminate early detection and allow risk to mature undetected. The Liberty Mutual declination is a reminder that DOJ also continues to reward timely self-disclosure, disciplined investigations, and remediation. Programs must be capable of quickly identifying issues and escalating credible findings. FCPA investigations routinely take years. A quiet enforcement year often reflects cases still under investigation, not that the risk has been eliminated. Whistleblower tips, audit findings, M&A due diligence, and post-acquisition audits and foreign enforcement ensure that today's control failures can become tomorrow's cases. So 25, what happened last year, it doesn't mean that we're in a lower risk world. It just created a more selective enforcement environment where cases are fewer, but probably more consequential. We need to make sure we avoid weak controls, poor documentation, and unmanaged third-party risks are more, not less, likely to be framed as deliberate misconduct. So it's important, I think, to look at your sort of risk profile in this area. Look where you may be involved in national security interests may arise. We've also talked about the importance of transnational criminal organizations and connections to cartels, either through your third-party distribution network or your vendor network on the supply side. Those can all create high-risk situations that could be prosecuted through FCPA enforcement actions. Okay, folks, that's just a quick view, quick catch-up on FCPA. We'll see you next week with another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance.